Welcome to another episode of Polar Opposites. I'm Justin, and this week I'm joined with the guest, Heidi.
Hello, everyone. I'm Heidi.
Yeah, Nikki couldn't be here, so I brought Heidi. Heidi is one of my best friends. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Heidi.
Well, my name is Heidi. I'm a 2018 UT grad. I graduated with a degree in biology, and now I'm living... No, don't do that.
She's smart, y'all. She's smart.
Debatable. I'm living in Houston right now, and I just finished my first year of dental school, but we'll be starting the summer semester very soon. So glad to be here with Justin right before... summer school starts. Right.
But yeah, this week has been cool for me. I graduated, so I'm done with college, which is a good thing and a bad thing. It's bittersweet because you're missing out, or not missing out, you're like ending a chapter of your life and you're beginning a new one. So there's all these questions because we're supposed to have everything figured out. But if you don't, you feel lost. But it's fine. It was cool. So my family came down yesterday and my sister. And yeah, it was a great time. We took pictures afterwards and it was cool.
Your sister, though. She was here.
Yeah, my sister. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, my sister made an appearance at my graduation, which was kind of controversial, but we'll get to it. So y'all will understand what I mean when I say that. So, Heidi, what's been going on in your life?
Just to clarify, my last name is Shay. Justin wanted me to let y'all know I am Asian.
Yes, she's an Asian woman.
We're going to be talking about Asian things today. So, I got my last name Shay because my grandpa, when he came to the States, he said, you know, let's just make it a little easier for everyone to say our name, changed the spelling to Shay. So, it's not really a Chinese last name, but it works.
It works, yeah. So, Shay. Like it. So, she is Asian.
So you said, what have I been up to lately?
Yes. What have you been up to? Like,
well, I've been lazing around, enjoying these first 3 weeks of summer break.
Cause you deserve it.
Yeah. And I didn't have anything planned this summer break, but for my second summer break after the semester, I will be going to Korea.
Ooh, Korea.
And I'm gonna get double eyelid surgery in Korea.
Goodness. Y'all, whenever Heidi told me this news, tell me why I got sad. So she said she's getting double eyelid surgery, which is a cosmetic procedure that Asian people do to get another eyelid.
It's an upper eyelid crease surgery.
It's also been called the Asian eyelid surgery, if y'all are familiar with that. But I was like, Heidi, why are you getting that? Like, you're beautiful already.
Offended.
I did get offended. I'm not even Asian.
He got offended and he said, why are you trying to look white? You don't need it. You're already pretty.
Yeah.
Just so much like, emotion.
You don't need to get that procedure because I think you look fine already.
Yeah,
so
but
what?
You know, I have a lot of different takes on this.
Okay.
One is there's so many different body modifications that we do these days.
Nose jobs,
everything,
boob jobs.
Dyeing your hair, body piercings, tattoos. It's endless, you know? And I feel like this is one of those things where, in terms of body modifications, women are at the forefront and women get the most pushback and the need to, I don't know, the need to justify why they're doing something. It seems like a lose-lose situation to me because, you know, women are pressured to look beautiful, but if they do something to enhance their appearance or change it, they get judged.
No matter if it looks good or bad, if you had something done, people judge you for it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a stigma, even though surgery is very normal these days. You know, boob jobs been around for forever now, like our whole lives.
I think it's because you're making a permanent change to your body. Because think about it, hair dyeing is not permanent.
Right.
What else?
Piercings
color contacts are not
Permanent. But like liposuction, you know, it's I mean, different, I don't know, like boob job, but you know, different things.
But the Asian facelift for sure. Asian eyelid surgery though, I don't know. I feel some type of way because. What are the, like, reasons why you want to do it? Because is it because to look more European or what? Because you look fine already. If y'all, y'all can't see Heidi, but she's, like,
I'm
completely
popping.
Beautiful.
I'm kind of popping.
She is popping.
You know, like. I thank you. Thank you. So I did a little bit of research about this, citing a source called Asian Blepharoplasty on PubMed. It first started in Japan. So this surgery is originally an Asian surgery.
Okay.
Started by a guy named Mikamo, right? However, in the U.S., I recognize this surgery does have racist roots. So it was popularized by Dr. Millard. He is a famous plastic surgeon for cleft lip surgery, but this is something he worked on the side. And it started
this, so they're not identified as...
Yeah, as a threat. Because this was during World War II, you know, Japanese people were a threat, and, you know, Koreans and Chinese wanted to differentiate themselves in a way. And Dr. Miller kind of advertised this as a way to look more Western.
Okay.
So it does have racist roots in the U.S., mm-hmm. and I completely recognize that. Mm-hmm. However, at this point, it is so common as an Asian surgery mm-hmm. that... I don't think Asian people do it to look white at this day and age.
Okay.
I think women who do the surgery for all different sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. And
so is it like braces for your eyes? Like it's just a cosmetic procedure?
I think for me, it's just a little bit of enhancement. 'Cause I'm a body positive person. Mm-hmm. I used to be very insecure, but now I feel like I'm at a very good place. I love myself. I have nothing but, you know, love, respect for my body. Mm-hmm. But it's like dyeing my hair, getting a piercing. It's just like, why not? And plus, I'm a very fuck it person. Like, YOLO.
I mean, if it makes you happy, it makes you happy.
I don't know if it's going to make me happy, though.
But you want it, though. It's like a boob job. If it makes you happy, it makes you happy. I don't care what you do.
I don't think it's something that it's going to make me happy. Okay. I think I already am happy, mm-hmm. and this is just, like, something to try. It's like a bucket list thing.
But it's permanent, though. Like, I can't just say, you know what? I want to bleach my skin. You know, just give it a try. Like, you know, anything can happen. You know, let me just bleach my skin. Like,
you know what, Justin? Whatever makes you happy.
No, because that won't make me happy. That'll ruin my skin, and I don't want to be
light-skinned. But then you can look like your family.
Oh, that's true.
You can finally blend in.
If y'all don't know, I'm the darkest in my family. Everybody in my family is light-skinned. I was probably adopted. Yeah. Who knows? But they're all light-skinned, and I'm the only one that's dark-skinned. So whenever I was born, my mom held me in her arms, and they were like, she was like, this is not my baby. She thought the nurses, like, mistaked me for somebody else.
Is that a true
story? I think so. I remember her telling me something like that. And okay. then whenever they put me in my sister's arms, she said, take him back.
I like milk chocolate, not dark chocolate.
Yeah, she said, nah, I'm not fucking with this, but... Yeah.
Oh my god.
But yeah, do you. If you're cool with it, do it. But I don't personally think that you need it, and
right. I mean what do we need? You know, who's to say what we need?
That's
but
true.
Hey, I got the coolest souvenir in South Korea. I can say I got plastic surgery.
Whatever. But I want to see before and after. It'll be
course.
A minimal difference,
I will definitely share
yes.
pics. I'm not going to be one of those that hides my surgery either.
Oh, that's good, because some people get surgery and they're like, I didn't get anything done.
No, I'm going to be very open about it. I've already told my classmates about it. Y'all know. Yeah. And, also, just to add, 50% of Asian people already have the double eyelid.
Interesting.
So, genetically, we're not trying to be white. Let me just clarify this.
Okay.
We're not trying to be white. In fact, when we do the double-lid surgery, we do it in a way that still honors our eye mm-hmm. shape.
Your heritage.
Right. So
people can
still,
tell, like...
I'm still going to look Asian, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. But you'll just have the eyes that you want. Okay. Okay, so Heidi, what have you been watching?
Ooh. So I started this show called Pose.
Yes, Pose, y'all. And I finished season one, and season two is about to come out. I love it.
I have a slightly different opinion.
Uh-oh.
I don't love it, but I find it historical.
Okay. Because it is an important show because it covers the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. And I learned a lot about ballroom culture, which I really knew nothing about, and its origins and how, you know, that kind of culture was thriving in the 80s. But it's a cool show. I think that people would learn a lot from it.
Yeah.
For sure. But
it's
that's
about the trans culture also mm-hmm. and drag culture.
Yeah.
And it's important in TV history because all of the main lead actors are trans people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling their own story, and I think that's really important.
Yeah.
However, I will say the acting isn't
It leaves something to be desired.
It's like a, it almost reads as a Disney show about trans people to
really?
Me. Really? Yeah. It's like first time actors. They're like maybe, you know,
I mean, it's a give and take. You're going to get actual trans actors, so I have mm-hmm. to expect that they're not going to be the most experienced. So that's fine with me, but it's a cool show. And in addition, I'm also, Heidi was telling me about this show called Sex Education.
I love it.
You love, is that one of your favorite shows right now?
No, it's not something that I'm like itching for the next season, but it's really wholesome. It tells a good story and it's funny. It's like cute and light and it's British.
Ooh, a British show. Yeah, I've seen it all over Netflix. So I will watch it now that I'm like done with school for now. I'm going to be watching so many shows. But if you guys know me, my favorite show on television is The Handmaid's Tale. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
See, The Handmaid's Tale is when really me and Justin became friends.
Yeah.
That was the first show we watched together.
Right. Season we did a lot of bonding. Season one is very good.
Season one, out of this world.
Yeah.
Good. It's intense. It's gritty.
Mm-hmm. Depressing.
Yeah.
At points. But what did you think of season two?
That was the last season, right? Mm-hmm. The ending was terrible.
Yeah, I hated the ending.
Just like Game of Thrones.
Spoiler alert. We're not going to give you any, like, spoilers, but yeah, the ending is... Y'all just watch it and tell me what y'all think.
Our opinion? Oh.
Mm.
I wanted to boycott season three, but Justin is still going to watch it.
I'm still going to watch it, but if they start out, like, season one, like, at base, first base, I'm not watching it anymore.
You know, when your friend dates her really toxic boyfriend, she breaks up with him and goes back to him again and again and again. We're at that point where where Miss Handmaid's Tale right here is going back to the same tale over and over again. It's like, we're done.
Yeah,
bro.
We're
like,
done with this.
If you don't want to help yourself, we don't want to help you.
Exactly. You know? And we'll just kindly turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Next time you call about, oh, boohoo, your boyfriend, I'm sorry. Justin can watch season three, but I'm not. Nah.
Mm,
he can tell me how it goes.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes. And if it's good, we'll watch it.
Hot take.
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 Here's our hot take of the week. My hot take this week is about posting ugly pictures. So if y'all know me, I'm a very good friend. And if we are both photographed together and I like the picture, I will show my friend and make sure that they like the picture too. Some people don't do that. Some people look at the picture they took together, see that they look good. They'll post it without letting the other friend know. Mm-hmm. And the friend can be looking any kind of way. And that's embarrassing. Because one of my friends, she showed me a picture of her friend. And the friend wasn't pregnant, but she had like a beer belly. And I was like, oh, how far along is she? And she goes, oh, she's not pregnant. And I was like, she's not pregnant. Why would you post this unflattering picture of her? Because I thought this girl was like 8 months pregnant.
Rude.
I was like, look at this beer belly. I mean, not
fake
beer belly.
Friend.
I would never do that to my friend. Like,
fake friends do that.
Yes.
Well, we are all guilty of taking a group photo and then zooming in on us. Okay? We all
we
do
look
that.
Good.
But give your friends a little courtesy. You know, check out their eyes open, you know? Are there double folds on fleek?
You know,
kind of check up on their face.
Because the thing is, that graduation and taking pictures after graduation reminded me of this. Whenever you ask somebody to take a picture of you, they never take good pictures. My eyes are closed, and then they give me the phone, and it's like, is this all right? No, it's not all right. My eyes are closed. I take great pictures of my friends, but whenever it comes down to taking pictures of me, it's always the worst quality. It's blurry. It's tilted to the left.
You know, I think that's the hot take, is that everyone feels we take better pictures of other people than they take of us.
It's true. I don't know. I think it's true. What do you think?
I think I take great pictures of my friends.
Yes. And then they take trash pictures of you.
But I will say I do have a friend. Shout out to Julia Serna if you're listening.
Oh, we love Julia.
She actually does take good pictures and she takes the time. You know how people, when you ask them to take a picture, they take one picture. Just one.
No, but you need to take multiple.
You have a whole iPhone in your a whole iPhone X. You're going to take one picture. No. Julia, get you a friend like Julia who will just keep her finger on the trigger. And
until you get the right shot.
Until you get a good friend.
That's a good friend.
Good friend.
That's a good friend. My second hot take is about flowers. So you guys know me. I'm very humble when it comes to giving gifts. I am not a gift person, but if you want to get me something, that's fine. But just as long as it's not flowers. Flowers, to me, there's no purpose to it. You give it to me, I watch it, and then it dies. It's like life. We're born, we live, then we die.
Isn't that poetic, though?
It is poetic, but is our friendship dead because you're giving me that? Like, flowers, it just doesn't do anything for me. I'd rather you give me something tangible, something that I can, like, make use out of. A flower, it just sits there, collects dust, then wilts and dies, and I throw it away.
I see both sides. As a girl, it's nice to get flowers from, you know, a male interest or your boyfriend or significant other. But
from bae.
I'd also rather get food.
Me too. Food over flowers.
Food is love. Flowers is affection.
Yeah. Like, flowers are nice, but food, if you really want my heart, give me food.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's my hot take. Y'all can take it how y'all want it.
I came up with a hot take.
Ooh, I'm excited for this.
I was listening to lecture in dental school once, and the professor said something like, pregnancy is a disease.
Uh-oh.
And I related to that on a deep 100%. Level.
Pregnancy is a disease?
Pregnancy is a disease. Do you know how messed up your body gets? How much trauma your body goes through as a woman to have a child? It's never the same. I don't care what they tell me. Your body is never going to be the same.
Of course it's not the same. You're squeezing a watermelon from your vagina.
Yes.
And you expect it to look the same. It's not. Things are going to change. And I'm lucky that I'm a guy and I don't have to get pregnant. Male privilege. Shout out to that. But I could never have a baby.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of extremes going on in the world now, too, whether it's even ethical for the human population to expand so much. Mm-hmm. I've kind of had this conversation with my parents, like, you know, adoption is good. And
really? They wouldn't mind adoption?
No, they do.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think the older generation has this idea of
wanting to produce your own offspring.
Your own offspring, carrying on the family name. It's like this traditional idea that I don't really prescribe to.
Interesting. Pregnancy is a disease. You know what? Are you still in the stage where if one of your friends get pregnant, you're like, oh my God, what are you going to do? Like, are you in that stage yet?
I am so thankful I haven't had to have that interaction with any one of my close friends. Mm-hmm. But when I hear about it from other people, I'm like, oh my gosh, how...
Like, what are you going to do?
Especially... When I hear college-educated women, like, among our circles, mm-hmm. people who are smart, driven, career path, you know, focused, when they have a baby, I just, that shakes me because I think that's a huge sacrifice to your own life. And mm-hmm. Maybe it's selfish for me to think that other people live to be a mother. Mm-hmm. I guess there's just different types of women out there.
And for y'all have to make the conscious decision and think about, when am I gonna have kids? Like, I can have this career, but when is it time for me to focus on, not even focus on a family, but just have my kids, you know what I mean? Because at some point, whenever you're pregnant, of course, you can't do all the things that you can normally do, so
and if
it affects your career.
Well, if you're privileged enough and have the money, mm-hmm. biologically, you are not as held back. Because now you have all these technologies, you know, freeze your eggs, mm-hmm. or surrogacy.
Yeah, and, which is popular, you know, among celebrities.
You have a little bit of other options, mm-hmm. but there is still that biological clock thing.
Yeah,
pressure.
And this sucks. I feel like women are, like, the best creatures. Like, they go through so much, like, so much pressure.
But you would never. They're the best creatures, but you're, still thankful that you're a guy.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that I'm a guy. We have it so easy. We really do. And maybe we'll do a whole episode on the privileges that guys and girls have, but it is so much. The list goes on, but I am thankful that I am a guy.
You always rub this in my face.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rub it in your face, but I don't have to put on face paint.
Heidi,
I don't have to pluck my eyebrows and whatever. Like, I can just... I could wear the same thing every day and nobody would ever question me. But if y'all wore the same thing, oh my God, are you poor? Like...
Like, I might question you.
Okay, you might.
I might. Because I'm a good friend.
Right.
You know? But I don't want you to be wearing the same thing in every photo.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but that's my hot take. Did you have another hot take?
No.
Okay.
Kind of a life update, though. No more Instagram for me.
Uh-oh. No more Instagram. Why?
I'm an adult.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I'm an adult, too, but you're like...
Well,
in grind mode.
I did it because I wanted to waste less time on my phone. But that didn't really happen because I kind of just switched to other apps. And it is sad that I miss out on pictures like your graduation photos and stuff close friends post. Mm-hmm. But overall, I don't feel like I'm missing too much because the people I care about, I still reach out. I see you in person.
Yeah.
I text people. People text me. Mm-hmm. So it's
okay. I don't know. I feel like Instagram is probably the best app that you can keep. Like, other apps I don't think are necessary. Facebook, you can dispose of
that.
What
about Twitter?
Twitter, trash that. Because Twitter is so toxic and nasty. Like, throw Twitter
that completely. Seems like a hot take.
It was my hot take a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Twitter is trash. Like, what else? I don't even know what other apps, but I only use Instagram. Like, that's it. Because I think that's the best app. You get to see what's going on with your friends. It combines Snapchat. It combines even Facebook because you have the post under the picture. It just does it all for me.
All right. There you have it.
So for our main topic for today, we are discussing dreams, our futures, aspirations, goals, and how our Nigerian and Asian cultures influence that. So, for one, as somebody that graduated college, I feel like we have this pressure to have everything figured out. And we're supposed to, there's this idea of everybody follow your dreams and follow your heart. But does that apply to everybody?
I would say, short answer, no.
Okay.
I think we come from the background of second generation children.
We're both second generation.
Of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And that brings a lot of pressure to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's like this burden of success that we have to carry from our parents' generation.
Exactly.
And I think the hard thing for me and a lot of other second generation kids is the struggle of balancing your own dreams and your own self-actualization with your parents' idea of success, mm-hmm. which is often tied with money and, you know, the
prestige.
The Illuminati triangle of doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like, what other career is there besides those
That's
three?
It. That's it. If you're not a doctor, if you're not a lawyer, if you're not anything in the health field, you're trash.
You're nothing.
Yeah, that's how they see it. And when you put that pressure on people, you're not really allowed to, like, explore other options, explore your interests mm-hmm. and what you're actually passionate about. Because I understand it. Our parents came here, at least my parents were poor whenever they came over here. They were hardworking, and they had this dream that all their, you know, efforts to make it in this country would be, you know, worth it whenever they see their parent or their children become doctors, lawyers, and engineers. And these fields, they're very, like, if you do this, you can get the end result, which is becoming
right.
a doctor or lawyer.
Their idea is hard work
equals
success. Hard work plus education is the
key to success
formula. It's foolproof.
And I will say there is truth to that.
There is, absolutely. And I think we're both on that stage. Mm-hmm. Like, we've gotten the hard work and the education, and now is our time to go out and prove that success. Mm-hmm. But along the way, we've had to squash or suppress a lot of our other interests. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of other interests.
Yes, that we could possibly have, could have done
pursuit.
As careers. Yeah.
There's so many things that I've had to let go slowly mm-hmm. throughout my childhood.
And
dancing,
what were some of those
art,
things? You used to, because you're an artist, right?
I have been painting forever, mm-hmm. and now I don't get to anymore. Mm-hmm. I played piano for, like, 12 years.
Wow.
I danced for, like, 13 years. There's just so many things, and that comes with the privilege of my parents caring about me so much. They poured all of their love and sacrifice so that I could have all these extracurriculars,
mm-hmm.
but for them, it was a resume builder.
Yeah.
You know, they allowed me to have all these opportunities so that I could look good for the end goal, which is college
yeah.
and a job.
Mm-hmm. In the future.
Not necessarily to, you know, become Insta famous, YouTube
right.
famous.
Or actually use those talents to foster a career.
Make bank with it.
Yeah.
Which a lot of kids are doing now, and I find that crazy.
I think it's sad. So Heidi, do you think that had your parents, like, allowed you to, like, really explore what you're good at, do you think that you would have gone into those fields instead of doing what you're doing now?
That's really hard to say, because I think part of adulting is realizing that money is important and you need money
to survive, yeah.
And
we all want to have a lot of money.
And honestly, it's not bad to have a lot of money.
It's not.
You know, I question myself, would you rather be poor and sad or rich and sad? I kind of want to be rich and sad.
I mean, yeah, it's always better to be rich. And that's the thing we always have to grapple with. Because you're in dental school now.
Mm-hmm.
And has dental school always been something that you actually wanted to do?
Absolutely not.
Okay, explain.
The opposite, actually. I grew up with an uncle who was a dentist. And my dad is a physician. So already a lot of pressure to go into the health field. As a kid, I always knew, you know, when you just don't like something, you don't like something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why. I don't like mint chocolate. I don't know why. I just
right,
don't like
you just
it.
Don't, you know, you
I just
don't like
did
that.
Not like math or science.
Mm-hmm. I still don't like math or science.
I just don't.
No.
I, you know, but I have, like, two brain cells to rub together, I guess. So
mm-hmm.
I, like, made the grades.
Right. Heidi is very smart, y'all. Stop. She's very
okay.
self-deprecating,
well,
but she's really smart.
See, I come from a small town, too. Very small town. There were very few Asians around. And because I was high achieving, I kind of stood out from the crowd. And it kind of made me an outcast, but an outcast that stood above the rest,
okay.
almost.
Okay.
I don't want to, I was like a big fish in a small pond, I think. And when you're up there, you know, people expect you to go down this path. And
mm-hmm.
I think I just kind of got trapped into following the path that was laid out for
right.
me.
Right, other
was,
people's expectations
right.
of your future.
Right, and it was it was easy. It was the default to follow the path, mm-hmm. you know, even though it was hard for me internally, emotionally, the fact that I didn't want to pursue this health career.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here, it's, I've come to accept that it's an opportunity mm-hmm. to get a good, stable job.
Right.
And as much as it,
great paying,
you know, it hurts me. Dental school is not easy. It's not fun, but I'm hoping it will be worth it in the end mm-hmm. because with respect and authority and, you know, professional degree, you have more opportunities for everything, right?
Right.
So,
I mean, it opens doors in a way, but I always wonder, like, do you have regrets on, like, man, maybe had I, like, pushed back on everybody and listened to what my heart was telling me, what would my life be? Would I be discovered and, you know, be super successful based on my talents versus, you know, just riding with the wave and doing what is expected of me.
Absolutely. I think about that a lot. And I think doing that takes a very special type of person who is extremely confident. Mm-hmm. You have to have the most faith in yourself.
Yeah, you have to completely believe in yourself and believe that, you know what, no matter how hard it's going to be, I believe that I can do this. And I will stop at nothing to achieve my goals.
Yeah.
And I think that...
So I admit that I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am where I am. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you don't feel like it's like too late to do those things, like dance and wanting to be an artist?
Dance is over because I've gained like 40 pounds since my dance days.
Nothing is permanent.
So dance is over. Art's not over. You know, piano I can pick back up. But, mm-hmm. you know, those are all hobbies that fill out my life a little bit. But, you know, who's to say what's going to happen in the future? Honestly, I have this vision of myself as like a Ken Jeong type of person where I get the doctor degree, right?
Yeah.
And then I just have the craziest midlife crisis, drop it all, go to Hollywood.
And become an actor, a successful actor. Why not?
Who's to say you can't do that too?
That's true. And the thing with me is that my parents came here in the like early 90s or late 80s. And I feel like my dad had this expectation that, you know, my kids are going to become doctors. So all growing up, like, we weren't allowed to explore anything else but doctor, 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 doctor. And people, like, growing up have always told me that I'm funny. Like, I make people laugh. Like, if I wanted to, I could, like, have a career in comedy or something. And in high school, I was also in theater. And I was, like, pretty good at it. And that was, like, another possibility for me. But because my parents never saw that, like, as a feasible career, they would never, like, support me. And in order to do something like that, you need financial support from somebody. And I didn't have that. So that's nothing that I saw that was possible for me. But now, as I've graduated, like, I'm having to, like, think about my future and whether I want to be happy or not. And I really do want to be happy. And I think we all do at the end of the day. So I'm always like, man, if I went to dental school, would I be happy doing what I'm doing? And every time I ask somebody, I ask, like, what am I doing? I tell them, oh, I'm planning on going to dental school. And they're like, dental school? Really? Like, I don't see you being, like, a dentist. I see you, like, in entertainment or something. And I've gotten that, like, multiple times. Mm. And, like, it's the more people keep saying that, the more it's, like, making me second guess. Like, mm-hmm. what am I doing? Like, if I wanted to pursue, like, comedy or acting or something, like, could I be successful? And what am I missing out on by, like, sticking to dentistry and, like, losing out on my opportunity to do something else and possibly succeed in it?
I want to live vicariously through you and see you figure that out.
Right. And I feel like people tell me that I could do it, but I don't know if it's because I'm self-deprecating and I'm like, oh, you're just saying that to be nice.
But
I don't
see,
know if
all this self-doubt is keeping you from stagnant doing that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that self-doubt is what keeps most people from really realizing their dreams. Because while you're doing all this self-doubt, you're not taking the steps to just do it.
But I don't even know what's the first step.
Exactly.
Like, for me, the podcast is like a creative outlet. I love it. And I love, like, the feedback we get from listeners. Like, I love this. I don't know if this is step one. And then I go into something else and, like, actually maybe start doing comedy, starting at a bar or something and doing stand-up or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what that first step is or how to, like, figure out how to get there.
And that's the hard part. I don't think anyone really knows until you do it.
Mm-hmm. Just do something.
I thought about being a medical illustrator for a while, mm-hmm. and there's no blueprint for that either, so it was scary.
And I think fear holds us back. I feel like you need fear, though, because fear kind of grounds yourself. You. Yeah, it keeps you grounded in reality, in my opinion. I don't know. I feel like my parents were, like, strict growing up. I don't know how your parents
Very were. Very strict. Mm-hmm. But that gender difference, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So I wasn't allowed to do sleepovers, were you?
No.
No? Okay, absolutely not. Dating? No. Well, no. What is a boy? Why, like, we did not talk about
it. No, we didn't talk about sex. We didn't talk about anything.
No sex talk. So I was rebellious, but you weren't.
No, I was... my parents... Whatever they did to keep us grounded, we respect our parents so much. And I think that we respect them to the point where they can, like, run our lives, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been good and it's been bad. But my sister, she graduated from college last year. And my parents thought that she was going to go to medical school. And in the back of her mind, she knew that she didn't want to go to medical school. And she knew this. So she planned ahead and she found a job after graduation. She moved out of her apartment. She did everything on her own. And
that's ballsy.
It is ballsy. And she power to her for, like, putting, you know, her life in her own hands. Mm-hmm. So the day that she was supposed to move out of her old apartment, my parents came and they were like, hey, we're going to help you move out of your apartment. And she was like, well, you know, I actually already moved out of my apartment. And you know what? I've also found a place to live, too. And they're like, what? Who told you to move on your own? We are coming to pick you up to help you move out. So my sister was like, no, don't come. Everything is fine. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need to do that. It would be a waste of time. So they got to Houston. They couldn't find her.
Anyway.
Yeah, they came anyway. Oh, wow. They couldn't find where she was because she moved out. And then they went to the school and they found some random professors like, we don't know where our daughter is. She won't tell us where she lives or where she's working. So the professor's like, hey, you should contact the police. Yeah. So they call the police and my sister's at work at the time and she gets a call from some weird number. I don't think she answers, but when she's on break, she answers and gets a message and it's like, hi, this is Officer Dan. And if you can give me a call back at blah, blah, blah. So she calls the number back and he's like, hey, this is the police. Your parents are worried about you. Are you okay? My sister tells them the entire situation. And then the officer goes, wait, how old are you? And she goes, 23. And the officer goes, you know what? You are old. Like, you don't have to tell your parents anything. You're of age. You're over 18. So they told my parents that, and they were not happy. I remember my dad saying, if this was Nigeria, we can just hire kidnappers to snatch her. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, oh my God, is it that serious?
Wow. Yeah, getting snatched.
Yes, but she took her life into her own hands. So she's found a job. She's working there. And, like, it's kind of icy between her and my parents right now. But she's, like, living on her own terms. And I think that maybe that's a step that people have to do in order to, like, do what they want to do.
I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, the thing is, she was a psychology major. She didn't want to go to medical school. She wants to go to grad school and wants to eventually be a clinical psychologist. And that requires you get a master's and eventually a PhD, but they were not happy with that because they're not familiar with that career path. So they're like, if that's not a doctor, if that's not a lawyer, why are you doing that? They're like, what about nursing? And she's like, no, I don't like the sight of blood. And that's the reason why she definitely mm-hmm. can't do anything in health. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what about this? And what about that? And she's like, no, I want to do what I want to do. And mm-hmm. they're not happy with that. So as long as she's wanting to do what she wants to do, they're not never going to be satisfied.
I think you and your sister being such good kids, mm-hmm. it also comes as more of a shock to your parents mm-hmm. that she's finally rebelling.
Yeah.
And it's not even rebelling. I'm sure she still has love and respect of for course, your parents. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing I think my parents have trouble with too, except since I was so rebellious as a kid, mm-hmm. it's different for me because when it comes to the important things, I have followed my parents' suggestions, going to dental school. Mm-hmm. But I've been so rebellious. I mean, I snuck out when I was, you know,
dare.
I got my windows super glued by my dad.
So you wouldn't leave the house.
So I wouldn't leave the house. That's how I got caught.
Wow.
I tried to sneak out to a party once and I'm over there shaking the windows like, oh, get it open. And my dad turns on the light. He's like, where do you think you're going?
Uh-oh.
It was that time.
What? He's saying in his accent.
Where are you going? Okay, sorry. That's not appropriate.
Yeah.
And you know, so I've gotten caught smoking and drinking in high school. So I was
for hell no.
For an Asian girl, a firstborn daughter. Ooh. The daughter of a doctor in a small town. I caused some trouble. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for me,
It's a little different. Yeah.
I think my parents expect some pushback from me. My brother, though, he's a psychology major at UT. Yes. Younger brother. Perfect kid. Mm-hmm. Golden child.
What does he want to do?
Well, he's, believe it or not, going to go to med school.
Really? Mm-hmm. And he wants to do that? I mean, he's still young, right?
He's young.
He still has, like, room to change if he wants to. But
he doesn't give my parents pushback. He knows my parents want him to be a doctor, and he's okay with it. He doesn't have any major objections.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I think he needs to explore other passions. Not that
being a doctor
is bad, but you need to have room to explore other things. Because you don't want to be med school. And then one day you realize, you know what? I don't think I like this. You never had the chance to explore other things. Now you're trapped, you know? Like, that's, I think, people's worst fear. Like, just following their parents and then eventually, like, living a life that is not theirs, you know? And we don't want to live for our parents, because I feel like our parents want to vicariously live through us. Because I feel like my dad, he's a pharmacist, but he always wanted to be a medical doctor. And because he never got to, due to, like, different circumstances, he's like, you know what? I have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
My three kids are going to be doctors.
Well, yeah.
And that's...
Same with my mom and my dad.
Exactly.
And not to diminish this issue that a lot of us struggle with, but it is a very first world problem.
It is.
You know, it's something that Americans, because we have so much opportunity, we do have the room to explore if it was allowed. We feel a little cheated out of this American dream.
Yeah, cheated, I guess.
Because
yeah.
We're here. We are in this magical wonderland world.
Of opportunity.
Of opportunity, chasing your dreams and, you know, going to school and your
working
teachers.
Working hard.
If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
I don't
All
know about
this
that.
Clashing with
the culture at home and
our home culture.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, because it's scary when you think about the future. Like, being at this stage in our lives, when you look at other people being successful, I'm like, man, I should be like that too, or I should mm-hmm. be right where they are. And mm-hmm. I think that with the thing with comparing yourself to other people, everybody is different. So I don't know. I don't know what my path is, but I have to, like, start, like, seriously thinking about that, like,
and
now.
Working on it.
Yeah.
And just taking the steps. But I think with that also comes this like maturity phase with your parents. And I think your sister did it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. She did a lot of planning.
She did it really well. And at some point you have to cut the cord and you grow into more of a friendship with your parents. I think I'm starting to enter that phase now.
Mm-hmm. But they don't have anything to be disappointed at with you, because you're doing everything that they always thought you would be doing.
Well,
you know
say
I mean?
That, but I still do some things that they're not 100% about.
Do you care to expand or not?
Care to share? Well, okay, I have this one story. I dated a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my boyfriend anymore.
Right, so that's why she can talk about it.
But he is black. Stop. He's Ethiopian American. So he's actually a first generation. He's an engineer, very acceptable.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, he went to a good school, you know, has a job. But when I brought it up to my parents, you know, I said all the good things first. And then I said, and he's black.
And he's black.
And my parents had a lot to say about that, mostly because he's not of our Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're concerned about. They made it clear, you know, we had an open discussion about this after we broke up. And my parents do agree. They allowed me to be an adult a little bit
mm-hmm.
because I explained to them, you know, these are things that I'm going to have to choose for myself.
Yeah.
And when you're dating, you're giving the other person a chance and they're giving you a chance as well.
Yes.
So I told my parents that, and that was one thing they're like, you know, we agree. Yeah, they accepted that they were, came off a little too strong in the beginning, judging someone that they had never met before,
yeah.
Didn't want to give the chance to at all, just because it's a little different
yeah,
in some
it's
way.
It's a little darker.
A little darker, yeah.
But yeah, I guess you just have to throw those things at them gently and just see how they take it. So I think that was one stepping stone for them. So now, like, discussions like that will be easier from now on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I feel like I don't want to be depressed is the reason why I'm thinking about my career, like, mm-hmm. as seriously as I am. Because I want to be happy at the end of the day. I mm-hmm. think we all deserve happiness. And every time I look into the future, I can't really see what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that I'm happy. But I just mm-hmm. don't. I just see black. Whenever yeah. I think of myself, like, 10 years from now, I just see black. Well, I don't see anything.
That's really deep for me. And I relate to that a really? Lot. And just being completely honest about, you know, this is Mental Health Awareness Month,
isn't it? It is.
Okay, let's celebrate that, because depression and happiness and all the mental health issues that people struggle with, like, I struggle with depression and anxiety. And I think for years of my life, ever since I've been on this path to being a doctor, mm-hmm. I've felt that, like, darkness in the future. Like, really? I didn't know what happiness looked like. But this past few years, I've been getting help, you know, from psychiatrists, professionals, trying different medications, trying therapy, mm-hmm. you know, just trying things. And honestly, the medication has kind of changed my outlook a little bit.
Good. In a good way? Or
different way.
Okay.
You know, I relate to that darkness feeling of the future.
Maybe,
you know,
I am depressed.
The future weighing down on you so much, and medication kind of allowed me to take, you know, just be in the moment, and whatever happens in the future, what it's like more of an exciting
thing versus a scary thing.
So maybe, and I think therapy should be a normal thing for people to go to. You know,
it should be. Checkup. Yeah, we talked about this. Like, always, like, do mental health checkups. Check in with friends. You never know what people are going through, especially, like, now it's graduation and there's mm-hmm. so much expectation for the future and what people are doing. And if you don't have everything set, stuff like that it's okay for that stuff to make somebody sad, or mm-hmm. it's understandable for that to upset people or make them feel some type of way.
And I know it's normal after graduation to have some kind of post-graduation blues.
Yes.
A lot of my friends went through that. I did a little bit, but
because it's so many things. It's like, eventually moving away from the city you went to school in, mm-hmm. Missing your friends. Everybody goes their separate ways. It's like another stage of our lives where things happen, because there was high school. We mm-hmm. went to different colleges around the country. Mm-hmm. Now, 4 years later, is another separation where the same thing happens again. You meet people and then everybody splits off. And now it's getting more serious, because now my friends are eventually going to get married. My friends are eventually going to have kids. Mm-hmm. Like, my friends are going to graduate from professional schools with degrees and start making, like, serious money. Like, life is happening, and it's mm-hmm. scary. It's like, I just want a second to breathe before everything, you know, happens. Mm-hmm. And I think life for me is just going by so fast. And I don't know. I feel like there's so much that I have to do before I feel comfortable, like, with where I am in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's scary.
That's
like, this heavy. Is what goes through my mind all the time. Like, life, like, I'm 22 now. Like, life is moving by so fast. There's so much that I've yet to experience. I'm not set in, like, where I see myself in the future. So I have so much thoughts in my head about what's going on. And I see my friends and everything have, like, job opportunities lined up after graduating. And it's like, shit, I wish I was smart to do engineering as a major and have a job lined up. But I'm not good at math. I hate math. So that was never a serious consideration. But I do think about stuff like that. It's scary.
We all do. And about this new stage and leaving your friends, we haven't left each other.
We haven't. And that's the thing. Like, whenever Heidi went off to dental school, I was happy for her, of course, because that's a huge step in her life. But at the same time, I was sad, because me and Heidi is one of, like, my best friends. Like, Heidi knows probably maybe everything about me that maybe other people wouldn't know. Okay. Okay, so whenever she went to dental school, I was sad, because, like, this is somebody that I spent a lot of time with in college, and now she's going off to professional school to become a doctor, and she won't have time for me anymore, and she'll be, like, cooped up in her books, and she won't, like...
Which is mostly true.
Yeah, which is mostly true, but at the same time, we've still been able to maintain and make time for our friendship, which I really do appreciate.
I think that's the thing. Yeah, that's the key. We make time for the things we think are important, mm-hmm. and you're gonna keep doing that. And good things are only going to come out of it. You know, when you put good energy out into the world, good energy is going to come back.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. I think it's part of it is just acceptance, accepting that things are going to change. And it's just adapting to the change, because, you know, we're not all going to be stagnant. People are going to move. People are going to have new opportunities. So mm-hmm. I just have to
ebb and flow,
ride the wave and keep moving with the wave.
And I think as an adult, friendships are more quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
You don't have the concentration of people like you do on a college campus, so you have to make the effort to reach out to people, mm-hmm. which is different. It takes practice, too.
It does, for sure, for sure. But I think I'm pretty good about that. Because I do have a lot of friends, but I do have quality friends. Like, for me, I'm also a quality over quantity person. Cause I don't care about the number. I care about, like, the genuine relationships that I do form with people.
Ooh, same.
So,
being an adult in dental school, it feels more like you're trapped in high school.
Really?
Because you see the same 100 people every single day. And every
it's actually worse than high school. Because high school, my class, graduating class, was 540 people.
Oh, we have 105. It's a little suffocating.
And everybody knows each other very well.
Very well. And I will say I'm lucky to have a class that's really chill overall.
Good.
And I came into dental school brother zoning everyone. I said, I don't care how hot you are, how smart, how funny, I'm not going to touch your penis.
Yeah, she's not touching
it. I'm not touching your penis. No. And I have maintained that.
I'm proud of you.
You know,
I'm so
resolve.
Of you. The temptation was there, but
no, was the temptation there?
I don't know. No. It's up to you. I don't know what they look like.
I don't know.
Can't tell you.
I don't know if the temptation is there or not, but I think it's good to. I'm practicing being an adult. You know, I'm still struggling, trying to be mature because I can't cut people off
like you did in college.
You can't just cut people off.
No,
you're going to have to work with these people. Yes, I've gotten into arguments and I'm turning a new leaf, reaching out, apologizing, keeping it moving.
Mm-hmm. And that's a skill that we all need to acquire, like cut it and keep it moving.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm good at that. I can cut a relationship and then keep it moving and not have any second thoughts about it.
But to still be cordial.
Oh, I can do that.
To, yeah, work with people.
Hi, mwah, mwah. You look great.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Oh, I hate that.
No.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. No.
Sometimes I'll just ignore somebody. Like, I'll say hi to their friend next to them. Be like, oh, hey, what's up? And then I'll ignore them and say hi to the other person.
That's rude. That's petty.
No, it's not.
See, that's the kind of pettiness I'm trying to let go of.
Oh, my God.
You know, so I can
grow. I haven't done that in a while, though.
As like, an adult.
Because I'm a friendly person. I really don't get in arguments with people. I'm not confrontational either. But
I am.
Nobody's ever tried me, but people try you.
I think they know because I'm spicy.
Yeah, Heidi is spicy. Like, say the wrong thing.
I'm very spicy. And, you know, I think over time, I hope I will mellow out.
I don't know. I mean, your personality is your personality. Like, for me, it's going to be hard for me to ever get in a fight because I'm usually laughing with somebody versus fighting somebody.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's me.
Polar opposites.
I know, right? Polar opposites. Always get a different perspective out there. Now we're going to transition into listener letters. So this week we have a letter, and we always give our letter writer an African name. So the African name for this week is Chikadi. And Chikadi says, I see on Twitter a lot about friends and money. What are your thoughts on paying people back, spotting, and cultural differences? Because for Middle Easterners, I grew up watching my parents and their friends fight and make servers uncomfortable over who got to pay and the expectation of making the next move in return. What do you think about that? Okay, let's say a friend needs money and they forgot their wallet. If I have the coins, I'll pay for their food. And then in the next couple of days, I'll send a Venmo request.
Venmo. See, that's the thing in our culture. Venmo makes it very easy.
It does.
You pay for yours, I pay for mine.
And that's
it. There's no owing each other anything.
Because some people, they'll say, no, I got you. Don't worry about it. No, don't pay me back. But a couple weeks later, or maybe in a couple months later, they're going to still think of that. And if you're all in a fight, they're going to be like, well, that one day, I paid for your food and blah, blah, blah.
That's never happened to me, though.
Happened to me before. Like,
what?
They do something in good spirit, and then it's like you owe them something, and they're like, remember that one time I paid for you at this time? Like, if you said for me not to pay you back, why are you bringing that up? That's why I don't let people pay for me.
I've never had that happen to me before. I am really good about paying people back because I don't want to owe anyone anything.
Yeah, that's the worst feeling.
And, you know, people do harbor that feeling. I hate harboring that feeling. I hate when, you know, people borrow something, they don't give it back, or people, you know, take advantage. But I think Venmo makes it really easy.
Yes.
And in terms of Asian families do the same thing, fighting over who gets the check. But I had a little different experience. My uncle, who is the dentist, he brags about making all this money, mm-hmm. but he never pays when we go out to eat. It's so weird. My dad, every single time.
That's annoying.
So.
And there's no expectation that your dad, they don't Venmo. Like, what am I talking about?
They don't Venmo.
Our parents don't Venmo. They don't even know what that is.
No, so my dad is, I guess, the older one. Mm-hmm. And I guess he pays every time. And that's very different from my mom's side of the family, where everyone's fighting, you know, to get the check. Yeah. So I think just Venmo.
Yeah, Venmo, it makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Literally. Venmo. So yeah, my thing is that spotting, I don't have an issue spotting. Just whenever I send the Venmo request, just send the money back and we won't have any issue.
Or if we're all intending to share, like you buy me drinks, I buy you drinks, mm-hmm. and then it evens out.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to like count pennies.
No.
But just to make sure you're not taking advantage of anyone.
Just do yourself the courtesy. But yeah, thanks for sending in that letter. And if you guys would like to send us letters, you can email us at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com. Y'all can also follow us on our Instagram page at polaropositespod. And yeah, we love to hear from you guys. So if you have any issues, if you're going through anything, if you need our advice, we got you. So send your letters through and we'll read it on air. And that's that. So yeah, Heidi, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm glad to see you again. And this episode was good. I appreciate it.
Love you, Austin.
Yes, we're glad you're here for
now. We out. UT alums.
Right? We out of here. All right. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. And as always, we'll catch you on the next one.